Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I am in here with Glasses Malone. How you doing?
Man, I'm cooling, man. What's happening?
Having a good time. Nice to finally get to have a chat with you. We've been talking about this for a minute. But then you got a little bit of hype around yourself right now because you chose to make this bold artistic leap with this new video.
Yeah, yeah. What's funny is I always been doing shit like this. I think I've told so many like gangster stories and shit like that with my homies or stuff that happened around me and then made other people, but this is the first time I think people could like relate to one of the characters. And it just happened to be like, you know, probably the greatest rapper of all time. So people really is fucked up. They don't know what to do.
It's really crazy because, you know, you think about that, or I think about it a little bit whenever I hear about any like tragedy in hip hop with somebody getting killed or whatever, is that you know there's another side to it.
Sure.
You know that anytime some local hero gets murdered, that there's people out there who are thinking, nah, he deserved it because he did this, this, and this. Was that part of the motivation to want to tell the other side of the Tupac story?
You know what? It's like hip-hop is all about the other side. You know what I'm saying? Like the origin of it. It wasn't the Adidas. It was how you wore the Adidas. You know what I'm saying? Like I did a home, like when I first got in the rap game, like, we was just fresh off the corner. You know, we were selling Shine, gangbanging, fucking up, you know, screwing up, throwing away our life, and started rhyming. Kind of worked out, you know, a couple things happened. You know, it worked out. But you in the game and you trying to make records, you trying to figure it out. So you just being authentic. And you just kicking your truth. And you don't know, you know what I'm saying? You are hip hop, I'm saying? But then when you kind of take a step back, and like for me, I just took a step back and started learning it and clarifying it and defining what hip hop was. And I realized more than anything else, it was the other side. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't Adidas that was mainstream already. It was how you wore the Adidas. It was how you flipped a beat. It wasn't like a lot of the rap today is all like CNN, you know what I'm saying? The same stories on CNN you hear in a nigga rap. So for me, it's like, I wanted to make sure I kept it true to hip hop and tell the other side of the story. And it still need to be gangster. Like it still need to be kind of, cause I understand that lifestyle so well. And it was like the perfect side of the story. Like I know that story well. I've been jumped before. I've felt all of the necessary things to get revenge. All of those things, the emotions propelled me. And I actually happened to know the story because my boy, rest in peace, Dre, you know, booked me for one of my earliest shows from Southside. He kind of told me the story and how it went down. So nobody could get prosecuted. You know, everybody's telling the story. I just thought it'd be dope to rap it.
Yeah.
And it was the other side. Like, Tupac is so mainstream and we all love him, but it's another side of that story. So
right.
It just made sense. It fit me perfect.
It is kind of interesting because I feel like at this point, it seems like people pretty much know how the Tupac situation unfolded, but you don't hear a lot about it because I think in the early period after he passed, for like maybe 10 years or so, like now you have people coming out doing interviews, yeah, talking about it. But for a long time, it didn't seem like there was much closure. But now it's kind of more well understood, basically for me, through watching a whole shitload of DJ Vlad interviews about the topic.
Shout out to Vlad, cuz yeah, got all the fucking people.
He actually is like one person who realized that everybody actually does give a shit about knowing every last detail about the Tupac thing, which sure, I didn't really, you know, I kind of just accepted, like, yo, I mean, whatever, yeah, it happened whatever so long happened, ago, yeah, it is what it is. But so you know anyone who was like friends with Orlando Anderson? Or
Dre. Okay. Dre, the dude that, my boy Deuce Mack here from the Young Giants, but he played Dre in the video. Dre was actually in the car. Dre booked me for my third show as a rapper.
Okay.
I knew Dre and different people from out of the South. I used to sell Sherm to certain dudes, and my mom lived in the South before she went to prison.
People really wanted Sherm, huh?
Yeah, Sherm is like special. Yeah,
still?
I know, it's crazy. Not here as much, but it is. It is. It's, really? It's a fantastic drug.
Damn, you ever fucked around with it or you just sold it?
No, I never did any drug.
I know people who sold Sherm and told me that they just spent like a couple years of their life just in their house going crazy.
Yeah, like, no, it's the craziest thing. It's one of those things I've seen where it's like, we used to mess with homies, like they'd smoke. I'll never forget, one of my homies was smoking Sherm, and we was in the yard, and we was just fucking with him. And we walked out the yard and slammed the gate. Like, it was just like a regular driveway gate. It was like, damn, they gave you life, dog. And he was like, damn, they gave me life. Oh, man, gee, look out for my mom. Like, he really thought he was in prison.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's Free My Boy Scavenger, man. He locked up right now, but that was a real story.
That's crazy, because I just read this book about Pimp C, and, man, like, there's so many people in that story who basically smoked Sherm and then lost their mind and ended up killing somebody or anything. Like, the wildest shit you ever heard.
You got to think. Cyanide is in it. You feel me? Bromobenzene is in it. Magnesium turning is in it. Preparidine, it's a lot of fucked up chemicals that go into it.
Wow.
Fuck people up.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But getting back to the Tupac thing, though, like, you, I feel like you intentionally knew that you wanted to not just make a dope record, but also, like, kind of present it and market it in a way that would get a lot of people's attention. Like, the tweet that came with it just straight up said, Tupac deserved to die, !
Yeah.
So you probably realized that you were running head first into a burning building, in a sense, with that, because you know that there's a lot of people that are going to be offended by it, and then they're going to watch it, and anybody who got half a brain going to see it and sort of realize on the first watch, like, oh, okay, this is what he's trying to do, but a lot of people might still be mad as fuck about it. What was your thought process on what the reaction was going to be?
It's better than I thought. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's better than I thought. I thought it was going to be way more people upset. I thought all the rappers would come out and be talking shit, and, you know, I thought I was gonna really push it, and just unsuccessful. Like, the fans are mad, but a lot of them get it. They get it, you know. And it really was something to get. It wasn't just like, oh, fuck Tupac, like, that don't even make sense. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know him. But what I realized was, it was such an experience, you know what I'm saying? When you look at it, like, I did it so first person, POV, like, we all did it. Shout out to my boy Joker. Shout out to Condito, Deuce, King, everybody in the video. I realized more than everything, like, it was such an experience. I needed to keep the marketing, you know, how I presented it, just as passionate. It was times I wanted to change the name of the song, and my boy Mitro would be like, nah, man, we got to keep it pure. You know what I'm saying? People need to see that so they could feel the emotion. And I wanted people to feel what it was like to be a gangbanger, like somebody you love and cherish, you know, get murdered in some bullshit, and you got people sending me death threats now and talking about, if I was right there, I would drive by and shoot you. I'm like, yeah, welcome to being a gangbanger.
Right.
Congratulations.
It didn't go as, like, even on YouTube, I think I seen that it had like 3,700 likes and like 2,500 dislikes, which that right there says a lot. That if
I thought it was gonna be
that's not bad at all, given that what you were going for here.
Nah, that's for real, because it's shit, we thought it was gonna be a lot more fucked up. What's funny is I've been in the game now 12 years, you know what I'm saying, officially as a professional, and this is the first time I think people realize I was dope. Before, you know, you have people who, like, fuck with my music and knew what I was about and thought I was really good. That was my fans. But now I'm finally starting to see the words that Jay-Z would tell me or Dr. Dre would tell me, like, hey, you really, really great at this. You know what I'm saying? And so now to have fans be like, oh, you kind of, this brilliant or this is genius, it's worth it. It's worth the scrutiny, you know, to present this kind of art in this perspective. And it's all true. Like, and I'm not putting nothing extra, you know, outside of admitting that it's always been a debate whether Trey got his chain took. Trey mad as fucking me now, but it's like, it ain't about that. It's about the story. You know, it's, that's just a minor part of the story. The story is gangbanging. I just don't want to get caught up worrying about whoever, but people have to care about the sadness of what's going on, the pressures, the emotions of it now, because somebody you care about is involved. Like, when I was telling the same story, I killed myself in a video.
Right.
A song called No Sympathy, me and J-Rock. And people, like, my fans care, but, like, the public didn't care about me. But now you care about this person involved, so now you have to kind of get the feeling of being a gangbanger. And it's so emotion, you know, so hate. Like, they don't even want to hear the message. Well, that's what it's like, you know, when your friend get killed and y'all grew up together, you know, and your friend get killed and you want revenge. So it's motherfucker like, I want to kill you. I'm like, yeah, now you're a gangbanger.
Really, you're, like, shedding more light on the reality of these situations that a lot of people who listen to rap that maybe aren't connected to it don't understand, is that a lot of times when you hear about somebody getting killed, you know, you also might be tapped in enough to be able to hear the other side of the story, and to, you know, you hear all these people mourning this person and everything, and then you realize, like, well, shit, this happened and this happened, and it's like, that's why it's hard for a lot of people who sort of grew up in this environment to really take a hard stance and be like, we gotta end all this violence, blah, 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 because they know that it goes so deep.
Lost somebody. It's going to be certain motherfuckers that ain't going to never forgive me. Because, like, period. They're going to be like, I always tell them, like, how is it disrespectful? Like, a motherfucker, I won't even say a lot. I'll just ask them how. Well, you said he deserved to die. I'm like, well, if 7 or 8 people jump you with your enemies, you feel me? You, if Drake and 7 or 8 people jumped you and shit, that's your enemies, that would be your mind state. That's the point of the fucking shit. But, you know, I tweeted this, but it's like showing people Jesus had a wife and a kid. Like, we need our, you know, people need their heroes so perfect or sinless or above regular humanity. You need magic tricks. You need, you know, you need... I could take one fish, and I always said this, like, Jesus could have took, you know, 7 or 12 fishes and fed 100 people. But what if it was tuna? Like, what if he's the first person that made tuna salad? But we need it to be like magic. We need all of this shit to be like magic for us to follow somebody, and I think it's lame. So
that's what's crazy is that there's so many people who existed before this modern age where all the things, all the messy shit that they were involved with and shit. Like, so I sometimes think about that with, like, Martin Luther King. Sure. Like, if Martin Luther King existed in this day and age, to what extent would the media and the, you know, his political opponents, et cetera, even allow us to view him as this perfect, infallible human being? Or, I mean, I guess we know that he had faults, that he cheated on his wife, that he might have been involved in whatever. But to what extent, like, are there people out there right now that we might be tempted to, like, we don't really think of anyone as a superhero. We think of everybody as being human. But there are people in our past from the 70s, 80s, or 90s, even Tupac is an example of people who have this larger than life image, despite the fact that there were plenty of things recorded that are basically examples of them not being so perfect.
Yeah, and that's perfect, actually. Being a human is as perfect as our experience is gonna get. So motherfuckers could be mad, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, it's really like, he's hip-hop's Jesus, feel me? He's hip-hop's Jesus, so... Again, like, if I show you that Jesus had a wife and a kid, motherfuckers will be mad. You feel me? Because you've told this story so long and you want this story to be acceptable because this is how people want to follow somebody. Like, again, like, man, I remember when Tupac was alive. Like, I was alive, and I remember people had fucked up shit to say about him. I was one of those guys.
I'm from the East Coast, so yeah, definitely.
But I'm talking about even before the whole East Coast, West Coast with the rape shit, like, motherfuckers was talking bad. And it was just me and my generation and my friends were the ones playing cuz shit. Like, nobody else was fucking with him. Then when he came to Death Row and got next to Snoop, because a lot of people don't really give Snoop the credit, Snoop is responsible for the way we view Tupac Shakur, the way we view him today. He'll never get the credit.
Right.
Snoop was the motherfucking man. Fucking Pac wasn't even close.
Right.
He wasn't even close to where Snoop was. Snoop was like everything. Feel me? And I'll never fucking forget that shit. So when he got next to Snoop, that was like big. And I know people gonna be like, oh, hey, fuck that, but it's the truth. Like, if you was around at that time and if Snoop actually ever kept it like a real buck, like, that dude, you wanted to be next to Snoop. That's who everybody in the rap game. Snoop gave Bow Wow career, the Bratter career, feel me? Snoop is the nigga. So when Tupac stood next to Snoop, that was the first time we really saw him the way we see, you know, a superstar such as, like, Snoop Dogg. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. That effect that we're talking about where people, you know, after his passing started to treat Tupac like a god, do you see some of that with the reaction to Nipsey passing?
Hell yeah. It ain't... Neb was like a real partner. Like, we had a lot of really great conversations. A lot of the marketing things I understand is between him and Metro driving me up a wall, even Top Dog from TD, shout out to Top, but driving me up a wall about learning how to market. And I'm like, man, I'm going to just keep making this authentic shit. And Neb would be like, yo, you still got to make this authentic shit, but you still got to know how everybody else going to receive it. And Snoop is Los Angeles, excuse me. Nip is Los Angeles' Jesus. You know, he's above it all. But I watched when we walked, like walking with him or when he walked the earth, how motherfuckers didn't show him love. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers did not show Nip love. Niggas didn't want me to fuck with him. They was hating. Oh, he from 60s. That was the first hater move. And it became bullshit on top of bullshit. But once he passed away, I think it fucked everybody up so cold. And then you got a chance to hear what he was about. I was blessed enough to fuck with him, you know what I'm saying, and early and really get to see what people think they see. Like, I actually got to see the real thing fucking with Cuz, but that's definitely a lot, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, you know, they going to protect his legacy at all costs, you know what I'm saying, just like with Tupac, they going to protect his legacy, even though to me, my experience don't really dampen his legacy only if you need Jesus to not have wife and kids. Like, if you need Jesus to not have wife and kids, then you don't want to hear this song.
Right.
Straight up. You don't. This song is going to make you look at Tupac like, whether you think he was a fake gangster, because I hear people, oh, he's a fake gangster. It's like, well, I think he was a real gangster from the mob. Feel me? They turned him out. Just like Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is from the mob. Tupac and Lil Wayne from the same motherfucking hood. And they made him a gangbanger, and he reacted like one. But then the story continues, like it continues for all of my homies, like it continues for my homies that died from my neighborhood. Same shit happens. It's the same story. But now everybody finally hearing the story, like I said, because somebody they love became a victim of it. Now they mad, or they sad, or they moved, and now they like, oh, well, Glasses, we need to ban him from this, or we need to picket this, and it's like, it's cool. I knew what I was, you know, it's all good. It's,
I mean, yeah, if it was some super random ass person saying all this shit about Tupac, oh, then it might be a different conversation, but you kind of came into it saying, I know I got enough respect to make my point.
And it's still fucked up because there's certain homies that's mad from both sides about it, but, and there's motherfuckers that have said, I'd have heard death threats, and it's all this and that, but it's like, man, they know I don't give a fuck. Like, it's not even that. It's like, they know what's up with me. Like, my pedigree speaks for itself, and it's sincere. Like, I stand on that experience like none other before, because it's not no disrespect. Just, like, get your tampon out, you know, and listen to the fuck and watch the experience, feel it. You know, the point is to feel it. It may make Soulja Boy be like, I need to rethink this gangbanging thing. You know what I'm saying? I need to rethink this.
And they're saying he just got out of jail after doing 3 months and that he, like, kicked all the people out of his house. He's, like, got this totally different mind state and shit, which, I mean, you know, people keep figuring that out. I guarantee 6ix9ine realized, oh, maybe I shouldn't have fucked around.
Think about
this.
Shit. Like, if that experience would have been out for him, you feel me? Maybe he's not even in the same situation. He not playing with it. This shit ain't for play. This shit fucked up.
But the thing is that he had to learn the most basic, obvious fucking lesson in the world, but he had to learn it again. Like, every new generation of kids, they got to learn the most obvious shit. If you blow up and become a millionaire and you are not a gangbanger, do not go and try to click up with some gangbangers, because they're going to take you for everything you got, and they're going to introduce all kinds of shit into your life that you do not want. If you are living a safe, clean life, keep on living that safe, clean life, right?
But you know what's funny? I don't think he's a victim at all. Oh, I think he used it. I think he purposely went and used it.
It's very true.
To, you know, it's a look, it's a respect. You know what I'm saying? You walk around with your chest out a little bit more. You feel me? You motherfucker say your name with a little bass. You know what I'm saying? Shit is really, you know, it means something. So I don't think they used him. He used them. And when it comes out, it fucked them. They actually got the lesson. He's going to be fine. He's going to come out. And we in a time where motherfuckers probably don't care that he told. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to sell records. He's going to go tour when he can. And he's going to make money for as long as he's alive. To me, that's a lesson for gangbangers.
This is very true.
Of you motherfuckers that be wanting to hang around these niggas, the rappers, and you let them claim your hood and shit, you going to be... Nah, it ain't the rappers I'm tripping off of in that story. Now it's about the non-trays. Look at them. Look at Shotty and them. That shit fucked up. They lives is fucked up. His life ain't nothing. Because the same kids that was following him gonna follow him anyway.
Because these are just some dudes who, you know, they're doing their gangbanging thing, whatever that might mean to them, but they're, you know, keeping their noses clean, staying out of trouble,
just
whatever.
Living, just trying
to
get some money.
They get put under the craziest microscope you could ever be under just because they wanted that little bit of clout from hanging out with this kid.
And even not just the clout, they want to, you know, all gangbanging really is rooted in poverty. This is all just you broke and you want to make something out yourself. That's why friends come together and create what people think of a gang now. And you just run with your friends you grew up with, and you're trying to make money, but the closest and most convenient way is something illegal. You may get into a fight and these niggas poke your homie because maybe he got fresh shoes on, or maybe your homie is kind of, you know, a little aggressive, and you get into a fight and they poke him and stab him, and now you got to retaliate because you love him so much. It's not like this, it's not this fucked up thing that everybody makes it. It's just poor friends that come together and trying to make some out of themselves. So when they seen Tekashi, he wanted what they had. And then they realized they put him in position to be financially viable. So they just want to make some money. Don't nobody want to sell no motherfucking drugs.
Right.
So these motherfuckers just want to be more financially viable. So they like, okay, I'm going to manage you, and we're going to start this label, and we're going to start this, and now we can all make money. You know what I'm saying? Together. He used them. Honestly, like, it's him. They gonna do what they doing. They doing the best they can. And soon as a better opportunity is presented, you see they jumped on it.
Yeah.
They wasn't selling drugs and shit when they was making, you know, if Shotty's making $3,000 after, you know, every concert, 10% or 15%, whatever it was, he don't need to sell drugs no more. His life is good. So he really, Tekashi seen the opportunity and used them. He took advantage of the gangs. And that's what my experience represents. It's double-sided. He's not the victim. He finna be home rapping, shows, making money. Them motherfuckers not coming home.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything that you ever seen in L.A. gang politic history that is even close to how fucked up that 6ix9ine situation went down? Because we've seen a lot of different, you know, sort of celebrity gangbangers sort of get introduced to being with a crew after they were already rich and famous. Maybe some weird shit has occurred that I don't even know about. But it seems like, you know, there hasn't been anything too catastrophic like that. But have you seen that
Tupac
shit go down?
Look how many people from the mob got killed. All of them legendary names who I heard of before I heard of Death Row. I've heard of Timmy Roo. I've heard of Mob James. I've heard of Bunch Real. I've heard of all of them dudes, Neckbone, Heron. I heard them names. You know, my people live in the mob. Free my boy Mikey Roo. Rest in peace, Zabo. Rest in peace, Drew. Shout out to Term. Like, I know them. But look at how many friends they lost. You know, Jake is from Campanella. Look how many power rules got lost to that. These niggas just went to jail. This ain't that bad. You know, Shotty may get 5 or 10 years. You know, dudes getting 5 or 10 years. That's fucked up. You ain't no, look at Mob James. Like, look at his interviews. Look how sad he is. He lost his brother. Like, they lost everybody behind that shit. They lost everybody behind that shit. About some shit that really ain't really nothing, but really besides some rap shit. You know what I'm saying? It really came down to some rap shit, and they lost homies. You know, we talking about 10 or 20. It's fucked up. You know, and it changed all of their lives.
Facts.
Shugs included, you know what I'm saying? All of their lives has changed, so that shit'll always be a distant second to what happened with Death Row, you know, bringing in the Tupac and just the whole Death Row situation in general.
That's crazy, that's so true. Hey, let me ask you, can you contextualize this? Because me, as like a fucking young-ass rap fan, I knew you as, okay, that's one of the dudes that's with Game.
Sure.
And then soon after, this is one of the dudes that's with Cash Money and Wayne and shit. So how did you go from just being a kid, growing up in L.A., to coming out in the music industry with Game and shit? Tell me about how you even got to that point.
I didn't want to grow up being a rapper. Shit, I got straight A's. I really wasn't a fucked up kid. Like, I didn't really, outside the occasional fighting a bully, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we were stealing cars as teens, you know what I'm saying? Cutlasses, Regals, peddling columns. My mom went to prison a couple times. She went to the feds and lost everything and then had to stay with my dad and Watts and walking down the street over somewhere I've been going my whole life. And my dad would tell us to stay from down the street because down the street was where the action at. And coming home, walking down the street, got introduced to selling drugs, crack. Now I'm hanging with my friends going to high school. Now you get courted on, you know what I'm saying? You just, these your friends anyway, so whatever. And next thing I know, I'm selling Sherm, but I graduate high school, so I'm now in community college, you know what I'm saying? But I'm selling Sherm and I'm making $300 a day, but if when I leave to go to college, I'm missing 200, so I'm like, that's 500. I just wanted to be a pharmacist, so 500 a day was better than being a pharmacist, you know, in school. So school is done. Coming forward, I'm selling Sherm every day. Now we beefing with other gangs, and I'm in shootouts, and I'm in fights, and I'm shooting dice, and I'm shooting niggas, and I'm getting shot at, and I'm going to jail every 2 weekends. My cars is getting repoed. I'm low-riding on Crenshaw. I'm low-riding on fucking Imperial and Western, biggest shootout in the world. I'm making a name for myself. I'm standing up. Now I'm the man, and now I'm looking at my life like I'm finna go to prison. I could just see it clear. I'm rapping a little bit because my little brother just got out of YA and he wanted to rap, so we started rapping and I liked it. It helped me express myself. And I got a whole set up, me, my boy D, and my big brother Moses. Shout out to Moses, shout out to D, but we hit for a computer. Like, we got a computer on a scam. And I set up a studio in my little small spot because I'm trying to find my way out of selling drugs, and I'm rapping, I'm recording myself at this time. And I was really good at it. And my brother Pooh, shout out to him, but he introduced me to Dr. Dre in a nutshell. And I let Dre hear some music after a couple meetings, and he told me I should be doing this for a living. And that's how I really started taking it serious.
Okay, so you met Dre while he was still working with Game?
I met Dre right before Game came out.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I met Dre before I met Game.
Oh, all right.
I had never met Game.
What was the context of how you met Dre?
My brother's old lady, well, his the mother of his children, and Dre's sister, Shamika, are best friends.
Uh-huh.
So they invited us to the house for New Year's and the 4th of July party.
Wow.
And I met him on New Year's, and he invited us back to the 4th of July party. And I played music for him because I wanted him just to make a beat for me. It's crazy. I didn't want a record deal. I was like, I want a beat from you.
Yeah.
And he told me I needed to make a hit record and shit, whatever that meant at that time in 2004. I don't know what the fuck that is, but feel me, I put it together. And back then, you had to pay for music. Mm. I bought the song that Dre liked from St. Denson's at that time for $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and he played like five or six songs at the little, you know, at the beach party that he was having at this house in Malibu, and that motherfucker loved it. And he just was like, yo, you should be doing this for a living.
Uh-huh.
That's how it happened.
Wow.
And from that point on, I have been doing it for a living. I met 4 Cent. You know, nobody talks about him in this whole Black Wall Street or Game or bring nobody up, but 4 Cent. Billboard.
Which one was he?
Billboard. Oh, so he was the original, feel me, dude that was right next to Game.
Right.
From West Side. That's why the West Side started empowering Game, because they homie.
Okay.
4 Cent. And I went to their neighborhood. My boy, like my family member, Village Town Tone, rest in peace, from Village Town Piru, took me over there. And I went to their hood and Westside Piru, you know what I'm saying, and went to the back house and was rapping with them, you know, with Billboard, with 4 Cent. Mm-hmm. And I was still, it was a room full of Piru, but I'm still rapping my same Crip raps or saying cuz, if that's what I said. And they just thought that was crazy. And he was like, yeah, you should fuck with me, man. I'm going to introduce you to Game brother. And I'm like, Game, I think I heard of him. He fuck with Jay. He was like, yeah, I fuck with his brother, which was Big Face 100.
Uh-huh.
And Big Face, I went over there and met with him on Brazil, and he was like one of the most talented people I ever met in music, you know what I mean, as far as his understanding of how it's supposed to sound and what it should be like. And him and G-Rod gave me my start, and I linked up with Game, and that's how it happened at that point.
Well, now it's super normal for Crips and Bloods to be cool with each other, especially on music industry shit, but at the time, was this pretty out of the ordinary that you were even in that room, never mind that you were comfortable enough to say your shit?
It ain't never. I mean, the thing about being a drug dealer as well as being a gangbanger is you fuck with some blood. Mm. So it was comfortable for me, but nah, it was a lot of people that I would know people didn't like it. People would have shit to say, not to me, but about me, around me, enough to where I would hear about it. So it wasn't cool, but shit, at that point, you know, Face really meant something. Face means something to the community at that point when he was over there every day. Mm. So when he said it was good, you know. And it to their credits, a lot of the OGs from over there, Frog, Debo, if I'm forgetting somebody, don't be mad at me. Shout out to Wink from Westside,
uh-huh.
Hot Dog from Westside. They meant something, and they all fucked with me. They all thought I was just a solid dude, so it didn't matter what nobody else thought at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then the Game's whole career trajectory starts, and it's just the craziest fucking couple of years ever.
Yeah.
Where are you for all that? You on tour?
No.
Side by side?
Hell no.
No?
Fuck no. Chuck was some shit, man. Chuck is my boy, too. But I had just finished White Lightning, which was my first CD, and I tore my patellar tendon at that time, so I was on crutches.
Oh, wow.
And so he had put out the CD, and it was like fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he blew up. Then they start going on tour. They was talking about going on tour with him and Snoop, and they set this whole tour up. And nobody was talking about no money. It wasn't like I deserved any money. They wasn't talking about even taking a nigga on tour. So I was like, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to grind it out. And when them niggas come back, I'm going to be the biggest thing in the city.
Mm.
And they left, and everybody was gone, and I'm selling my CD on crutches. You know, my boy Hot Dog from DL's, you know, OG dude that's always pretty much looked out and took care of me on the race scene. You know, we would be hanging out, and I'd be selling CDs. I'd be going to everybody's hood selling CDs. Feel me? Like, driving my truck, getting CDs off all the time. And G-Rod would, like, make sure I had everything I need promotion-wise. Face came home from the tour. He was kind of behind me. I started putting together my own shows myself, you know what I'm saying, selling them out by myself. You know what I'm saying? With my whole team, shout out to my brother Pooh, but like, we didn't have nobody. It was just only us, my whole team. And by the time Game and them came back from off that motherfucking road, we was the motherfucking man. But it was one thing specifically I never talked about, and I'm gonna talk about it with you. And I never talked about it, but Game, when he came back in the middle of touring, or like right before it was over, and he had Black Wall Street chains. And he was giving them out to everybody. Like, that shit was crazy. It was like, I had never seen, I'm not even in a jury. So I'm like, I had never seen a rap chain up close. Like, it was a rap chain. And he had everybody a chain except me. I was like, damn, I wonder if he don't fuck with me because I'm a Crip or I'm not good enough. You know, you're thinking about all this crazy shit. And I never got mad. I was like, all right, I ain't tripping. Feel me? I get it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, it's cool. I still feel like that nigga owe me a chain now. Chuck, you owe me a fucking chain. And I really put my grind down at that point. You know, I turned a lot of fire up on my older brother, you know, who was managing me at the time. Shout out to Pooh. My engineer, Guido, you know what I mean? He was leaving town because his family, he was developing the whole family. And I just turned it all the way up. And opportunity came that came through Game too. So my CD is blowing. It's big. They playing it on the radio. And at this time, Game and Fifth started beefing. And this is how much the nigga's a good nigga too. You know what I'm saying? So this is Game. Game is like hot and cold, like for real. You don't know what nigga you gonna get that day, because it's just like that with him. I'm sure it's a lot of pressure on him. But it's like he let me get on the Ghost Unit that Ski was putting together, and it was a song called They Saying. And I came in and he wanted me to rap one verse. He's like, hey, just get on this. You wanted this Fifth? And I'm like, nah, I'm not getting in that, because, you know, we really be shooting at these niggas behind us and it ain't that serious. It ended up becoming that serious, but to me it didn't seem that serious at the time. But I got on the song and I laid one verse, and he came up to me, he was like, hey, this shit hard. Finish the whole song. And I'm like, the fuck? So I had to stretch that one verse into a whole song. And that song really cemented what I could do in rap. And that really changed my career.
Did you ever figure out why Game didn't give you the chain in the first place?
I've never talked to him, Mitra right here, Deuce. I never talked to nobody. I never told nobody how I felt.
Because you don't want to like make it out like you are that concerned about it, right?
Yeah, but I was really concerned. It really hurt. Crip was hurt about that one. Crip was really hurt. I felt some kind of way. He really owed me a chain.
Damn.
And because at that time I felt like I was important, but you know, who knows at the time? Maybe, you know, like I said, he had a lot of more niggas that was down for a lot longer. So it's just like that.
So that song became like a blueprint for the fact that you were actually nice, but where does it go from there?
That's when it was all on the radio. That's when Jay-Z started calling. That's when everybody started giving me a record deal.
Really?
Yeah, that's when I got all the offers. That's when everybody started bidding that song. So he did give me an
opportunity. Was Game and them one of the people bidding for your contract?
So Game wanted to sign me as to a production deal and then do the deal, and I wasn't going for it. Over that chain.
Really?
Yeah. So
that was a big part of it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, nah.
That made you feel like no matter what he did, that he didn't really fuck with you?
It wasn't that. It was just the business at the time. Like, I knew he fucked with me, but he didn't fuck with me the way I think I would need it to, like to trust somebody with my livelihood.
Right.
And that chain, I'm not going to lie, that motherfucking chain meant something to me.
Yeah.
And I would have never probably wore the motherfucker Adam Cuz on everything.
Right.
But it just made me feel like, then I was a Crip, it just made me feel like not a part. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all handing out chains. The thing, to Birdman's credit, when they was buying chains, I was like, I don't even want no jewelry. But for some reason, I felt so much more like I helped build Black Wall Street. Game pretty much full center face and G-Ride off their back. But I felt like I was so important, and I didn't get a chain. That shit fucked me up. I really felt some kind of way.
What were you seeing in the conversations with Cash Money that you weren't seeing from, you know, you mentioned Jay, all these other people that were reaching out? What was Cash Money bringing to the table?
Jay's deal was fantastic. I don't want to shout out to Jay Brown, because Jay Brown still probably be mad at me about shit, but it was just more money. Like, I was fresh off the corner and I didn't understand hip hop or records enough, and you know, it became money. But Birdman and them, like, they really believe in you. You know what I'm saying? They Bird got away with you. You know what I'm saying? He'll make you feel really included, like special, you know, like he understands, and he's a really good executive. That's why he's been successful for like shit working on 30 years.
But you've seen a lot of people who came out and seemed super tight with Birdman. You know, there's a lot of people coming to mind. Young Thug comes to mind, etc., who like they come out, they seem super tight with him for a period of time, and then it just seems like it sort of evaporates over time.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't really like that. I think a lot of people use Stunner. You know what I'm saying? But I think they bring a certain value to him, but a lot of people use Stunner. A lot of people act like they real cool with him, and I don't really like that. I be peeping motherfuckers with the little side comments towards him. You feel me? I don't really like that. Stunner is a really good nigga, man. And he just got a big heart, and he overextends himself with different people. You know what I'm saying? And he can't always deliver for everybody. Mm. And people just, you know, like, ridiculous sometimes. They just get too mad, but they'll forget he did this, that, and the third for you. But you be like, oh, well, you didn't do this. So I really don't like that. I be peeping motherfuckers with that little funny shit.
Well, it's tough to be in his position where he signed so many artists.
A lot.
Let's be real, is that, you know, that's what it is to be in the music game. You might sign 10 people to your label and maybe one or two of them work out and the other ones are all mad as fuck at you.
Yeah.
And with Birdman, it's like, it's very public because as soon as somebody starts messing with him, everybody in the rap game knows it. And they
that
see
become
it.
Their marketing plan. Like, oh, Birdman fucked me over. Listen, the thing about a record label is you have to know how to make hits. I could never be mad at Birdman or Mac 10 for what happened with my career. I didn't know how to make hits. Mm. And they never dropped me. I got mad. I got an attitude over some shit with me and Mac that was, like, private. And I was like, man, I don't want to be here no more. Mm. So it wasn't like they gave up on me, to be honest. They was doing whatever I wanted them to do. I just had enough. I was like, for this to work, I need to run my own spot. That was always my goal, to come in the game and have a business. Mm. I didn't really want to come in this shit and be selling dope for somebody else in their spot again. I wanted to open up. Like, by the time I left the dope game, I had my own spot. Mm. So I didn't want to come in the dope game and be selling somebody else rocks. I was over that shit. So it wasn't their fault. They never gave up on me. They paid me. They overpaid me. You know what I'm saying? I was straight. But I wanted to fucking win. Mm. That's what changed. It wasn't I wanted to make money. It wasn't ever I wanted to make money. I wanted to have a business, something to consume my time. I wanted a livelihood. So when I left Cash Money, it wasn't, like I said again, they didn't do me wrong. They were great to me. They never gave up. Shout out to Slim. Shout out to Stunner. Shout out to Mac Man. Shout out to Wayne. They never gave up on me. Mm. I just was like, I can't learn in this much comfort.
Right.
Like, I can't. It's not gonna work out. I mean, just not.
Part of being in the music industry is that you have to get real good at eating fucking dirt, right? Like, just dealing with some bullshit and just
tighten
keep
up
going.
Your motherfucking belt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you gotta starve a little bit. Mm. When you starve a little bit, feel me? That's where you really can, you know, you can feel it. Like right now, this is what niggas feel now with this experience. They feel me starving. Mm. You know what I mean? Now, that don't mean like I'm not eating food and I don't have a G-Wagon parked outside and I don't got a dirt bike and I don't got a low rider, you know, but none of that shit mean nothing. I want to win. And I don't want to win and be popular. I want to make the fucking experiences, the records that crack the game open. Mm. I want ain't nothing but a G thing. I want, feel me, Rewind by Now. I want that. Fuck all this other shit. You know, I don't know what everybody else is in it for. They all talk about money. The money come when you fuck the game up. Mm. I want to fuck the game up. I'm trying to set chaos in this shit. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to deliver so much truth, you know, that people just want to throw up because it's too much. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's it. I want to win. I didn't want to just make money. I didn't want to just be comfortable, and I just didn't want to travel. That wasn't what I did this shit for. Mm. I did it to create a business and livelihood, and no matter what, it's like playing sports. I don't play basketball to play. Mm. I play to fucking win. So not winning really made me feel some kind of way. You know, you looking at people winning. And it's not about competing. You just want to win because I don't think I'm outsell Michael Jackson and shit and have 40 million records, but God damn it, it's a trophy. Mm. A record, gold record is a trophy. Definitely. I don't got no motherfucking trophies. How you know what I'm saying? You got all these fourth and fifth place trophies. That's people thinking you rich or a Bentley. That's a fifth place trophy in this shit.
And you came out at a weird time for the music industry, weird time for the West Coast. There wasn't like in between game and whatever. There was like a long kind of drought with no superstars really.
YG.
Yeah.
YG and them came and say today. Mustard,
but
YG
he
and Ty.
Seemed like this exception to the rule in a lot of ways too.
But that's Mustard, YG and Ty. They came and saved the game.
Right.
They saved the West Coast because once Dre, Game is a uber talented MC, one of the better ones, period. Like, unbelievable, you know what I'm saying, as far as West Coast goes. Mm. But when that well went dry, or when he got tired of making beats or whatever the fuck he's doing, because, like, when I talk to him, I don't think he's that interested in making beats for everybody. Mm. So when that well ran dry, we didn't have nobody to make the music to score, you know what I mean, to score the movement until Mustard and Ty. And Mustard and Ty started scoring a movement, and it changed everything.
Right.
And that's when, You know, it started booming. So you had to survive. Like, if you from the New West, like me, J-Rock, Nip, all our whole New West team, you had to survive a drought. Mm. You know, you had to survive a real drought.
Because there really wasn't CD sales. There wasn't, like, you know, nowadays, dudes get signed, you got a couple of good records, they start doing good on Spotify, Apple Music. All right, you got a bag in the bank, even if you don't sign a deal.
Yeah.
Nice situation to be in. At that time, it was like basically you had to sign a deal and then like hustle your ass off to try to make a hit record again, get on the radio so you could still manage to maybe sell some CDs.
Oh, man, listen, it's without, you know what's funny, man? Like, the producer is so underrated in hip hop. Mm. We talk about Game. No, that's Dre. Mm. That's not to take no credit for
Dre. We talk about Eminem.
We talk about
Dre. That's a whole lot of Dre.
Talking about Dr. Dre. You talking about Snoop Dogg? You talking about Dr. Dre. Mm. Talking about YG? You talking about Mustard and Ty Dolla $ign. Mm. Talking about Tiger, you talking about motherfucking Mustard. You talking about Kid Ink, you talking about Mustard and Ill Will. You talking about some motherfuckers back there that really know what they doing and they don't get no credit. Mm. So for Cash Money, what made it really hard, like as hard as Baby went for me and as hard as Sterling, you know, Birdman went for me and Slim went for me and Mac, without Manny Fresh, I couldn't do it. I wasn't strong enough. And Drake, you know, shout out to Drake, he came with 40. Mm. Shit, he came with his shit in his pocket. He had the boy in the pocket.
And held on to him this whole damn time,
the whole damn time. And whoever want to fuck with him, you feel me? You slide in, feel me? You work with 40. Mm. So Drake came with that. And Nicki is just a special situation to where it worked out. She is like really, she don't get enough credit because that bitch did a lot without, feel me? Excuse me. That queen did a lot because without, feel me, nothing. She did it with nothing. She didn't have no stable producer, nothing. She made this shit work. Mm. So her story will never get the correct credit, but she is some shit. So, you know, for those two to be the only successful ones, and then Tiger, when he got, you know, Chris Brown really broke him. Shout out to Chris for that, too. Chris really broke Tiger. Mm. I don't know if he gets enough credit for that.
And Gym Class Heroes.
Hands down. Mm. Yeah, Travi. So, you know, moving forward, and then Mustard gives you your first smash. Mm. You know, outside of what you have with Chris Brown, Mustard, and Tiger fucked with him at a time when nobody was fucking with Chris after the Rihanna shit. Mm. So, you know, it worked out for him. You know what I'm saying? And then Mustard gives you your first smash. So, we had the whole New West. You know, we had to survive a lot of really fuck all of the changes, technology, and CDs, and you survive without producers. Mm. You had to survive without producers. You had to survive with no West Coast producers.
Damn.
And then, so I had to go get my first hit from DJ Toomp, who was doing all the tip shit. Mm. So where do everybody else? That's why nobody else had a real hit at the time, because where are you going to get it from?
Is it important to draw the distinction between like producers and dudes who just make beats conversation? Yeah, because there's a million dudes who make beats, but when you're talking about like really putting a song together and making it sound amazing and everything like that, it feels like that's a more limited thing.
Shout out to my boy Chepo. Shout out to Crew, the homie that played the keys, but Metro, man, on this whole project, Metro, this motherfucker here. But when we started making, you know, Tupac Must Die, like, I had to explain to him what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And, like, we started off with a good idea that me and Chepo kind of came up with, and then I fixed it a little bit, broke it up, and then I had Metro and them finish it, and then Crew added he played a string line on there, and to take the whole finished version and build it into what people hear, what flares up their anxiety, that's all in the music. So Metro was like another motherfucker that I fuck with that's really into how it's supposed to sound, how it's supposed to feel. You know what I'm saying? So without producers, without real producers, you know what I'm saying, you in trouble. Mm. Just look at it like Kendrick had a successful career. You know what I'm saying? He had made joints, he had platinum albums, but Mike Will gave him the motherfucking song that end up, now he's finally the guy. Mm. He was always the guy, but like Mike Will gave him a song that was so fucking tremendous, and he took it and do what he does best and made this record that's so, and now this motherfucker 5-6 million times platinum. Mm. Feel me? Like it's over.
It's easy to forget how long Kendrick was supposed to be the next guy up.
Man.
They were talking about that for a long time. Good, and to the point where I was starting to think, like, I don't know if this shit gonna happen.
Hey, listen, Good Kid, Mad City, like, people seen it. They was like, oh, okay, he's special. He was Nas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, To Pimp a Butterfly, he was Nas. Mm. damn, he became Hov. Mm. He became the man. He became DMX, Jay. He became the number one dude.
Yeah.
And Mike Will. Mike Will, look at J-Rock. J-Rock from the same class. Like, we all New West, feel me? Mike Will, smash. You know, we give a lot of credit to, because Future on it, or you want to say Kendrick is on it. Fucking Mike fucking Will. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's so Mike Will and J-Rock is out of here. I watch him on fucking Instagram because it's in Australia. And that shit makes me almost come to tears watching my nigga like, fuck that. Because I know how much these motherfuckers didn't want to see us get it. Mm. They was doing everything in their power. You know what I'm saying? Everything in their power, but shit they could never do in front of us because they didn't want the problems. But behind the scenes, and my niggas thugged it out, and he made that shit happen. That shit mean the world to me, just like Nip. Nobody fucked with Nip. Oh, he's from 60s. They the gang, and Big U is helping him, and he's Big U's artist. And none of that shit mattered because at the end of the day, he wasn't going to stop. And eventually, the world started taking to him, and then they waited till he died to give him his fucking flowers. Mm. And J-Rock got lucky. I take that back. That motherfucker didn't get lucky. He stayed relentless. Nobody, I pray to God because you get his story. Mm. I pray to God he walk in here and tell you what he went through.
That's a good idea.
Feel me? Like, he went through some shit before he came out on the other side with win with these trophies. He went through some shit, and he thugged that shit out. And Top thugged it out with him. Mm. And I love them niggas for that. But that's how I feel, like, they think they gonna run you out of this shit. You know, they'll be like, oh, it ain't worked out. Man, I'm gonna take it. I'm not gonna let them give me nothing. Like they never gave Nip his. Mm. The publications gave it to him faster than the fans.
Right.
The publications did. You know, they seen it. They put him on the covers. They seen it. The news seen it. All the media seen it. The fans didn't see it. So I'm not gonna let them give me shit. I'm gonna take all mine. Because right. That's what a motherfucking gangster's supposed to do anyway. I'm going to take everything. I'm not going to let them give me shit.
You seem like you have actually like a different perspective than a lot of people would in this situation, where you're still like passionately an advocate for a lot of these artists from your same class that you've seen succeed on crazy ass levels, that like you still feel passionate about the music and you don't feel disgruntled in any way.
Man, a lot of people I might won. Be, when yeah. J-Rock got that fucking Grammy, I fucking won. Mm. When they play them Nipsey songs, that's my song. These is my niggas. I won. We beat everybody. Y'all thought y'all was gonna stop our class. Mm. We still came out. Problem, we won. Mm. All I gotta do is do my part now. They did the hard work. J-Rock did the hard work. He got two trophies, three trophies already. Mm. Nip came out, you feel me? Now, you know what I mean? I hate he didn't get a chance to get his trophies in his fucking hands. Mm. Feel me? But his trophies is on the way. And Sam, cuz, shout out to Sam. What up, cuz? I ain't seen you. But Sam and J-Rock, them niggas gonna get his trophies. Yeah. He gonna have his trophies. Feel me? Problem got his trophies. Mm. Like, we fought for years, 10 plus years, to get our trophies. All I gotta do, my part easy now, cuz they did the hard work.
Yeah.
The hard work was being the first nigga to get the trophies. Mm. Feel me?
That's crazy.
That was the hard work. Problem got the trophies for us first. Then J-Rock got the trophies, feel me? Kendrick got the trophies, you know. Fucking Nip got, now Nip gonna have the trophies. Shit, it's easy. I'm gonna walk through this motherfucker. I kick the door open. I'm gonna walk through this motherfucker and take my trophy.
When you look at like a lot of people you just named, like Kendrick and J-Rock and even and Nipsey, super talented rappers that made highbrow content to whatever extent, highbrow gangster music, and it did well, and they were successful with it. Do you ever worry that the game is shifting to a point where dumb shit is kind of the rule, and that real talented dudes who make shit that might not be immediately accessible is kind of falling by the wayside? Do you ever worry about the overall things that are appreciated within hip-hop?
I like some of the dumb shit, so I can't just shit on. I like some of the dumb shit. I don't know if it's really good, because I... The homies be hot, cause I love Blueface.
I mean, see, that's the problem. Everybody knows it's enjoyable.
But I don't think it's dumb. I think you're getting this new energy. Mm. You know, sometimes, like when I came in the game, you actually had to be really dope because it costs a lot of money to make music. Mm. Now you can hear a nigga first 2-3 songs. Feel me? You can hear, you know, sometimes we're hearing these first. I think Ricky Bobby by the, what's the kid from Dallas? He got a hit, Ricky Bobby. He got a trophy already. That was his first fucking song.
Yeah.
That motherfucker got a trophy. Mm-hmm. Feel me? So, I mean, I've thought about that, but really, man, like, man, that marathon talk that everybody uses is real. Mm. You really running against your own time. Right, don't rally. A marathon ain't really about who win that. That's not. It's not like a 40-yard dash. It's really like a you need to finish and you racing yourself in time. So, like, do I think that some of the dumb shit make it hard for somebody that might be a little more intelligent like me? No, because I can use something that they can't use. This motherfucking big rock on top of my neck. And this is the product of it now. That's why everybody mad. It's like, I outsmarted y'all.
Did you ever feel like you have to hold back a little bit on what is going on inside your brain to make shit marketable?
No, that was a problem too. Like, for years, I just made what I wanted to make. I mean, shit, with Birdman making sure I was straight and shit, I didn't have to never worry about making hits. Shit, Mac 10, I was straight. I didn't have to worry about it. But not winning. You know, fuck that. I need some trophies.
I mean, that is what it is to be part of a label like Cash Money is that, you know, Drake comes along. All right, attention's on Drake.
Dog, trophies. And they never did me funny like that. It was never like, oh, Drake is successful. Glasses, fuck you. It was like, nah, right. What's the next single? Gee, what are we doing?
But you're still going to have to fall back and sort of let the cycle take place. Like, if you have a project you want to put out and all of a sudden they got these big projects that are clearly got to come out.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't like that.
Nah. I'll be honest. Not for me. I don't know for other people, but. Drake was a hit maker the first day he walked in. That motherfucker, like, he know what he doing. That motherfucker's a hit maker. He know what he was doing. Nah, they loved that I was all, the thing was they was fans. That's the thing, that's the truth. They were fans of the shit. They knew it was authentic. With Drake, it was records. He was fantastic. I mean, it was shit, still fantastic at it. He's like Channel 7. I'm HBO. So your Channel 7, your TV is going to be on Channel 7 most of the time. Right. News, you know, it's going to be cool little catchy comedy sitcoms. No disrespect to Drake, but this right here is HBO. Motherfuckers get murdered on this channel.
Yeah.
I mean, not just on the news. Facts. It's hardcore fucking going on. It's HBO. It's pay-per-view. And I had to realize that. So for me, it was like I never felt no pressure because of I'm getting older, you know what I'm saying, or niggas is dumbing down their shit. It's like, I'm not being smart enough. That's what I kept telling Mitro. And I was telling Deuce when we was working on this. I'm like, see, I hadn't been being smart enough. Like, everybody feel like, I hear Hov all the time, but I gotta dumb it down, or somebody say they gotta dumb it down. Now, I'm gonna get real smart. I'm gonna back your fucking ass in the corner with this shit. And let's see what you're gonna do when the content is facing you. Let's see what my message, because it's all the same message for me.
I like that.
Like, I'm not going out of my way to tell another message. It's a gangster rap song.
Right.
It's a gangster rap song with gang members, people getting killed. You just happen to care about one of the gang members involved.
Right.
Tupac was a gang member.
Let me ask you this. There's a video on YouTube, Eastsidin. It's crazy because, number one, I never seen like West Coast style banging in a New York situation like this. Like, it actually confused the fuck out of me. My brain, when I was looking at it, I'm like, why does this not look right? And then also it says featuring Nipsey, but the Nipsey's not versus not actually on it.
So we was going to all shoot the video in L.A. Putting Nip and Snoop together became a headache. It wasn't hard for Nip, but getting Snoop to come out to the streets. This motherfucker like the hardest working man in show business. Girl, this motherfucker's doing a fucking talk show and videos and tours and DJing and selling hot dogs, and he's in France today and Germany tomorrow. I'm not fucking with that. Like, cuz is a legend, and him doing it and clearing it was enough. Feel me? So being in New York, watching my nigga Wink, shout out to Wink Loke, my brother Killer, you know, all the homies out there, all my brothers from the BX, from out that way, Trey Pizzy, but watching them Crip and really seeing how they believed in it, going to Jersey, you know what I'm saying? Free Blizzy, you know what I mean? But watching all the Grave Streets gangbang out there, I felt like I wanted to be the first person to showcase it. That was it. It wasn't nothing spectacular. Wink, I knew Wink from UG's and shit. He was like into it. Flatbush, they was into it. They was cripping for real, and they was really pushing their line.
Right.
So I wanted to be the first person to showcase that. I felt like as a real representative of the culture, it was up to me to showcase it, and I approved it. So right. It don't matter what. You know, I heard a lot of motherfuckers got funny shit to say about out-of-town banging. I approved it. And my cripping is real as all of them niggas, if not even realer.
It's crazy now because you don't even think twice when you see some gangbanging shit
playing
in New York.
Them niggas will blow your fucking head. Every one of these towns. Shout out to the Shotguns in Minnesota. Shout out to the Hoovers down there in Houston. The motherfuckers ain't playing. They cripping and blooding is just as real, and they tripping. So I just felt like it was right for me to be the first person to showcase. It was some real selfish shit. You know what I'm saying? It was really selfish for the game. Like, I wanted to make sure I put on for my brother Wink. Like, Wink was really my brother, and held me down in New York, and I knew that Crippin was solid, and they would stand up, so I wanted to put on for it.
That's what's up. Let me ask you this. So the Tupac Must Die project that you just recently, or the song you just recently dropped, is there a project coming along with this? Is it part of a overall larger plan?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It's just.
It's just a Lucy.
Man, I got music, but it wasn't. It just needed to be said. Mm. Like, I held it back to Mrs. What's funny is we held it back to Mrs. birthday. Because I was like, I ain't going to spoil his birthday for everybody. I kind of knew people was going to feel some kind of way. And
right.
I didn't want to spoil his birthday for people. But we had it ready for his birthday. But I was like, nah, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't want people to be like, oh, man, we got to remember the day he died on the day we celebrating him.
Mm.
So, nah, it was just a joint. I mean, it really ain't no purpose. It really didn't. It wasn't about music. Like, it's available, but it ain't about music. It was about, I needed to show how smart I was, and I need to show people that whenever I put it out and release content, you need to pay attention, and I'm not done.
I think, like, no matter where your career is at, if you can still have that as your objective, is like, it's not about me coming out and selling a million records. It's not about me making $1 million off of this song, but I just want to put something out that I can really stand behind. Like, with that song, you know that you're going to be able to look at that in 10 years and still be like, that's it right there.
that's what I wanted to do. That's what it's about. Like, my boy, his label, Timeless Music, that's the goal. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to bring the truth. You know what I'm saying? I'm not tripping with nothing else. I don't give a fuck. Like, it ain't about whole albums. I'm not promoting the album. I'm not promoting the next single. Yo, this is what it's about. Like, look at what's going on with this gangbanger shit. Get involved. Get into it. You know, get in tune. You know, decide you don't want to do it. Be aware of what's going on. Just be mindful of what's happening. It's a whole world out there you don't know about. Now I just brought it into a world. I just brought it into your world. So now you can even dig deeper. You can go out and look into it and start. Maybe the right person could see it and help make changes. Maybe somebody could look at it and start asking questions. Maybe the right person to call me and be like, hey, what can we do to change something? You know, versus just sitting around making a song that's going to give me some pussy or make me some money. Like, I'm going to get that anyway. So
it's different than like a Tyga style comeback where you're like, all right, we're going to fall ass and titties to make this shit hit.
Shit, Tyga got all of it. Don't get me wrong. I envy.
Right. Now, hey, I respect it too, for sure. It's just a little bit different of a path.
That's my little nigga. Like, that's another little cool little nigga, man. That little nigga cool as a fan, man. And he got them bitches. That's what he do. So I love it, but Tyga is young. Tyga 31 or 32 or something. He's supposed to be talking about getting some pussy still. Glasses, I'm closing in on 40. I got to talk about some shit that really matter every time. Every time. I don't, you know, every now and then I could get a little loose. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you know, when I start talking, man, you're going to have to really deal with life. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, big homie, that's what it's about. Like,
you'd rather be a great version of yourself, the best version of yourself, than a mediocre version of somebody else.
That's funny, Nip says that.
He did?
Yeah, really? That's his line. It's crazy. Authenticity. He always used to tell me, man, we sell authenticity. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like, don't forget that. Like, he was talking about when I put out that good, he was like, yo, that shit dope, but nigga, don't forget. Like, authentically, make sure you know, you stay grounded. And I understood, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sad that he's not here, because a lot of people feel like he would be upset because he likes Tupac, just like I like Tupac, or Kendrick would be upset. They're not. They know what I'm saying is real. They just looking like, as long as this nigga take the crucifixion, you feel me? And I'm cool with that.
I just remember that you had that viral tweet about Nipsey's Crayola color.
Yeah.
You told him the name of the new shade of blue, Nipsey Blue.
Yeah, Nipsey Blue. Yeah,
I like that.
That's...
You got, like, that's what, 100,000 retweets or something?
I don't know. Crazy number. I don't know. I didn't even think about it. It was just on my heart, man. Just like this shit, man. It's just real.
I think that was what made me think, like, goddamn, I should do an interview with Glasses. That would be crazy. I ain't heard from him in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's I'm not going to hold content back. Don't get me wrong. I haven't been putting out content like that, but I'm going to start releasing content, but I just got to feel it. You know what I'm saying? Trophies is coming. I ain't worried about that. I know I'm going to get... Like I said, Nip, J-Rock, Problem, feel me? My whole generation of niggas already did the hard work for me. Is this somebody I'm missing out of the New West? Is it Nip, J-Rock, Nip, Problem, Dom. Is it fair to Dom's New West? Dom might be like... I think Dom, that's my boy too. So Dom got some trophies, yeah. So like, yeah, like if you got some plaques, yeah, like, and you from my generation, they already did the hard work. So now it's just up to me to be authentically me, like to a fault, like almost like Colombian, pure conversation. You feel me? Like all this other shit watered down, I'ma just give it pure. Like I'ma put a mirror in front of life. So the experience that is Tupac Must Die is a mirror in front of gangbanging for the whole world to see.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? More content could be a mirror. Everybody, I'm going to let everybody see what they look like. This is what Tupac looked like. This is what happened. This is what it is. This is the mirror. Look at it. Yeah, I know it's ugly. Like, you don't like what you see, but maybe you'll think twice before you start encouraging people, or you don't discourage people not to be gang members, or you just understand that every man has a right to, you know, to their masculinity. Because that night, you know, Baby Lane's masculinity felt was stolen. So my goal in the hip-hop game is just to constantly, you know, to put that mirror in front of, to put that mirror in front of whatever, feel me? The Pope is coming. That's the Pope great, gonna have to look at the
That's
mirror.
What great art is to make people think, think about it from a different perspective, the even Pope, if that perspective might be right in front of your face and you didn't realize it.
Me and the Pope gonna end up having a conversation before this is all said and done within the next 2 years, mark my words.
Well, I heard that new Pope is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, but he gonna wanna talk to me.
Mm.
Like right now, Tupac family want to talk to me, like the Pope is gonna wanna talk to me before I'm done with this shit.
Well, shout out to the Pope, who I know assume is watching, yeah.
Shout out to the Pope, yeah. He gonna want to talk to me. We got some stuff to talk about.
He gonna put you in one of them bulletproof cars too.
Yeah, me and Cuz got a lot. He might try to assassinate me because I'm telling you, you start telling that truth, man. Motherfuckers be like a little irritable, but
a little too real.
Yeah, but I can't help it. Like I'm stuck. Fuck it.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, Glasses Malone. It was a great conversation. We just clocked it in an hour.
My God, it's great. It's great.
Time flew by, huh?
Yeah, it did, man.
Like that. Well, hey, I appreciate you, man. Much respect.
Thanks for having really, me, I appreciate you a lot, man.
Appreciate your mentality on putting out content. It's like the kind of thing that I feel like anybody who's been doing their thing for a minute could definitely use the fucking readjustment that you just described in terms of like how to keep your head straight in this game for a long time.
Yeah, man. If you don't, it get desperate because you have kids and wives and stuff, and that make you sacrifice. Me, like, I can be as wild. No children, you feel me? And like, I could be as wild as I want. Like, I don't have to make sacrifices for anybody. Like, I could just be honest. I could just keep it real. Fuck it. And now it's like, I'm ready to keep it real to another level that ain't never even happened. Like, probably since, like, Tupac, where it's, like, too real, where motherfuckers be like, oh, this motherfucker tripping. Problem always tell me, like, oh, this keeping it real hour. This nigga always keeping it real. Like, now everybody finna get a bar of that. Fuck it. Let's get it.
I like it. Glasses Malone, No Jumper. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. Just like that.
Like that.
Appreciate you, man.